Radio.
Setting Free the Captives. An interview with Justin Murph of Set Free Now.
Here at the 7th World Congress of Families in Sydney with Justin Murph from Set Free Now. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Now, what exactly are you doing here in Australia? Obviously, with your American accent, you're not a local, evidently.
No, not a local, originally from Virginia Beach, but here for the World Congress of Families and talking about the issue of child sex trafficking around the world. Set Free Now is an organization that is an alliance of several different global ministries that are working together to combat human trafficking around the world.
How bad is it, the issue of human trafficking around the world? I mean, here in Australia, it's not really seen as a big issue. It seems like something that kind of just happens in Asia, but we don't really hear about it. How prevalent is this?
Well, it's prevalent, and unfortunately, it's a lot more prevalent than people think. In fact, even walking around Sydney, you see places that all-night massage parlors, for example. Globally around the world, statistically, those are actually quite often dens for human trafficking. Women that are servicing folks with not just massages but additional services in those type of facilities are sometimes there not by choice. They're actually there as a victim of human trafficking itself. So it's an issue that really does affect every country, every city, all over the world. It's a $32 billion a year industry, and it is a plight that we're seeing more and more people take attention to in terms of trying to work together to combat this issue.
Mm. So what's your organization do about this?
Well, Set Free Now is an initiative of the Christian Broadcasting Network, Orphans Promise, Operation Blessing, and Regent University. And so we use mass media. Christian Broadcasting Network is aired around the world every day, seen by over 250 million people. We have a program called Christian World News and 700 Club that are available here in Australia and in New Zealand. And through those programs, what we want to try to do is raise awareness through mass media and TV about the issue of human trafficking, but also about ways that people can get involved in partnering with organizations like ours to actually prevent human trafficking from taking place in the first place.
Mm. Is it an issue that we can really simply just lobby governments or just hope that that governments or law enforcement agencies can kind of just get on top of? Or is there a much bigger battle going on here than we think in the Western world?
There's a global battle with regards to human trafficking. It kind of requires an all-the-above approach, really. So on one hand, it's trying to lobby government to pass real laws that impact human trafficking domestically and internationally. It's encouraging our government ministers that are serving at the UN to also take a strong stance in regards to anti-trafficking legislation and pro-child, pro-family legislation. But it also means training hospital workers, hotel workers, taxi drivers, airport employees, and also churches, and working through the church to actually train parishioners and members to be more vigilant and to know the signs and symptoms. And really, to try to provide a network of facilities and places. And that's part of what we do, is we want to try to provide training and equipping for organizations, churches, and the business community, so that people can see the symbol of Set Free Now, which is a blue flag with a white writing in the middle. That's a symbol taken from the nautical flag called the blue flag, and that means everybody aboard. That flag is flown on a ship when it's time to get on board the ship. And so that's really what we're trying to do, is just call everyone's attention and say, look, it's time that we all come aboard together and work on this issue.
Mm. What is the state of the battle at the moment? I mean, I know that you mentioned in the talk that I just listened to about in Britain at the moment, there's these calls to, in order to reduce the crime, to reduce the age of consent or something similar to that to 13. You know, what's really going on here currently in the contemporary
society? Well, a lot of it is that you're having pro-trafficking organizations or folks that are that view that there should be more sexual autonomy for children, for example. And we're seeing groups that are really against the traditional family, groups that are really not in the best interest of children, actually stating that children should have sexual autonomy at the age of 13. And so what it's doing is they're calling for the decriminalization of child prostitution. And the language is real interesting. They're not saying that child prostitution should be illegal, because that sounds negative. they're saying it should be decriminalized, so that really if a child is involved either voluntary or otherwise into prostitution, that they don't carry a stigma all throughout their life. Well, that sounds good, but what it really is doing is actually painting a giant bullseye on the head of every child for a pedophile, because it says, well, I can sleep with that child, or I can abuse or molest that child, and I won't get in trouble because all I have to do is claim it was consent. And oftentimes it becomes a he said, she said situation. And so it's really, we're seeing assaults against children and the family in a coordinated effort around the world. But we're seeing the same thing that's being done in countries like the UK, like Brazil, like the United States.
Mm. How do women and children get stuck in this cycle? We've just dealt with the legal side and how we're dealing with a legal battle. But yeah, there is, of course, you know, outside of the law, regardless of what the laws are.
Yeah.
Yeah, poverty, you've got these people.
Poverty has, there's movies like Traffic, right, which talk about how children are taken and they're victimized and they're kidnapped, in other words, or women are kidnapped and taken, other words, and victimized. And so that actually is one side of it. You know, someone that goes to a club is slipped a drink and is kidnapped and they're gone. That's kind of the Hollywood version. Oftentimes poverty plays a greater role. Families in rural communities in third world nations that can't afford to feed all their children decide to sell a child for a refrigerator or a television. Sometimes it's as simple as the phenomenon that we're seeing now in the UK, where you have impoverished children, and I say children, I mean preteens, 12, 13, 14-year-olds, who are enticed by money or enticed by the opportunity to make some financial gain through befriending a girl, and instead of taking her on a date, they drop her off at some club or a private residence where the trafficking begins, and that's the point of entry for them. So it's not just about being vigilant of, you know, some suspicious or odd-looking individual that, you know, could be out for ill gain. It's maybe the person in your neighborhood. It's the kid in your classroom. It's the person down the street that you may have seen every day of your life, but because of that poverty moment, they may have been presented with an opportunity for financial gain, and you have just become the easy target. And that's the tragedy. That's what we're seeing, is this desperate increase in the crime around the world. It's a shocking situation we're seeing in the UK, and you know, I think if unfortunately we could see it here in Australia as well.
Mm. Now, there's no doubting that this is really a grave evil that we're facing here. And like all grave evils, it's not just a legal battle, it's not just a physical battle, but it's also a spiritual battle. And I know your organization really is involved with that spiritual battle.
Right.
Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, part of what we're doing in Brazil, for example, where we have the World Cup coming in 2014 and the Olympics in 2016, we're partnering with over 400 different faith-based organizations and churches to create a prayer movement in each of the 12 cities where the World Cup will be played. The goal is to really bathe those cities in prayer and intercession, so that we're not only fighting the physical ills, but we're also fighting the spiritual darkness that exists there. Really, through prayer, we believe that we can see God move, and that we can see really the darkness go back. Because, I mean, Jesus talks about the fact that, you know, we should be a light into the world, and part of that light is the church standing up and saying, look, we're going to intercede and take back spiritually the ground that the devil's trying to take, and that includes our children and our women. And so we believe that there's great movements of prayer, and that's what we're partnering with groups like Exodus Cry in the United States, groups like the Christian Broadcasting Network, like Orphans Promise, that really are instilling and partnering with churches and communities of faith.
And what can we do about this here in Australia within our own church?
Yeah, well, within the church, obviously one thing is pray. The next thing is for churches to really prayerfully consider actually appointing or seeing groups that could get involved in the issue directly. That could be something as simple as providing an opportunity for children or women who have been trafficked to receive counseling or support, a safe place to stay during a recovery process. It can mean that church members are just better educated on the issue and are taught to look out for the signs and the symptoms. Many of the Archdiocese family works that are going on around the world, really, are dealing with caring for the issues that affect families, such as parent issues, parent training, children education, religious education. And so throughout all of that, the churches are better equipped, really, to be at the community level. And so who better to look in the community and see if this is an issue than the parishioners themselves, because they're able to have an interaction with everybody in their community on a daily basis. So that's one of the things that the church can do is to educate. And then finally, you know, we would love to see churches throughout Australia take a commitment to be a place of safe harbor. The church, the world over, is known as a place that harbors those who are in need of help. And this is a great issue as well. And so we'd love to see churches in Australia put out the message that there is a safe harbor inside the walls of the church for those who are victims of this awful crime, that inside the church you can find people who are trained to help offer rescue and recovery and restoration and rehabilitation.
Mm. And how can we find out more about your work?
Absolutely. You can go to setfreenow.org on Facebook. You can like us, find out more information. You can also go to cbn.org or to orphanspromise.org and find out more information about our partner organizations and what we're doing to combat human trafficking around the world.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, Justin.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me, and we'll be praying for your absolutely wonderful work.
Appreciate it. Blessings to you as well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Setting Free the Captives, an interview with Justin Murph of Set Free Now. For more interviews, talks and shows, visit cradio.org.au.